What is up, BFF FM community? I'm Erin. That's Ange.
Hi.
We just wanted to properly introduce ourselves to y'all. Bitch Talk has been around for 6 years this summer. We are born and raised in the Bay Area. We've called San Francisco our home for about 5 of the 6 years. And I heard about BFF FM through another podcast, Storied San Francisco. And the founder, Amanda, was on that podcast. And just because of connections and blah, diddy, blah, talked to Amanda late last year. And now we're on BFF. And I really, 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 really want to thank Amanda for the opportunity.
Yeah, this is so exciting. I can't believe we have another place to share our podcast, but not only that, but a supportive community within San Francisco.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's just really exciting, really an honor.
The best part is, like, Ange, who's here, and then our producer, Char, hasn't been to the Secret Alley Studios yet, which is kind of like the sweetest deal if you're a part of BFF. I can't wait for them to see it because it feels, and I'm not even a Harry Potter fan, but it feels a little Harry Potter-esque. If you will.
We're trying to have an event there, right?
Yeah, I mean, we might be having something later this year, so keep listening.
Bring some booze, invite some friends.
Exactly. All of that. Yes, all of those things. But we just wanted to officially say hi and thank you for having us and thank you for listening. And please, please, please comment, rate, whatever you need to do. You can do that actually on BFF FM. So please do that. Okay, we're going to get into our interview with Allison Clayman. She is the director of The Brink, which is about a good friend of ours. His name is Steve Bannon. Ange actually watched the film. I haven't watched it yet. I will watch it because it comes out. It's come out already in San Francisco over the weekend, late March. So Allison's kind of a one-of-a-kind gal. We had a really good time speaking with her. This was back at Sundance Film Festival earlier this year. It was our first time there. She had a lot to say about Steve, and I think you'll enjoy it. Is that what we want to say about this?
I think it's important.
You'll enjoy her.
Well, she's incredible. Obviously. I mean, her prior documentary was on Ai Weiwei,
right,
who is just incredible. And so she goes from Ai Weiwei to Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
Talk about a 180. But it's interesting because these people aren't, they're layered and they're complicated. And you know, he's obviously horrible in my eyes, but it's just a different glimpse into his world. And it's unfortunately our world because we live in this country.
Right. I mean, it's kind of topical with everything that's happening every day.
And she's just a real badass for following him most of the time on her own. And
fly on the wall, which is interesting.
It's just a lot.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, Ange and I, I think we're more than just Democrats. We're probably, I don't know, progressives, I guess. I don't even know what I would call myself anymore politically. But I think we need to know who's really running things, especially politically. Mm-hmm. And Steve Bannon has been, probably still is, running things here in America. So it's a really, really good study in what's happening with politics now and overseas, because that's part of the story, is that he's been overseas and helping with their politics. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. It's not just in America. He goes over to Europe and tries to rattle the chains out there too.
Right. So enjoy our interview with Allison Clayman back at Sundance earlier this year. And the film's called The Brink, and it's out now in theaters.
We are back on the Festival Daily Buzz with Bitch Talk Podcast. My name is John Wildman, here with the Bitch Talk co-hosts Erin Lim and Angela Tabora. Our segment here is about The Brink. It's a documentary screening at Sundance. We have our director, Allison Clayman. Allison, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's so nice to be here. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Allison, tell us about
Explain yourself,
The Brink.
Allison.
Explain yourself.
So when I was here at Sundance last year, I had already started filming The Brink. I followed Steve Bannon around from right after he left the White House through to the midterms. So it was about October, 2017 to November 2018. And, you know, the whole project was basically to see what he was focusing on. Not to, you know, I think interviewing someone, you know, he's an important guy. And figuring out what he's about in a combative interview style is really limited because he kind of thrives on that. He also isn't honest and he'll, you know, duck and weave and change the subject. But, you know, he is someone who, you know, is very, very active. So to see what he's working on, who he's meeting with, you know, where he's going, you know, the actions, you know, you can't spin that. It is what it is. And so I was able to get access and kind of insert myself. And so the whole film is cinema verite, you know, no talking heads, no interviews. Mm-hmm. And it ends up following, you know, his quest to build this far right global movement.
I guess my first question is how did he let you do this? We're all huge fans of Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry. Just such a great film.
Thank you so much.
Why did he let you do this?
Well, the like first answer to that is like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess you'd have to ask him. I think, you know, fundamentally on many questions about him, for as intimate of a portrait, you know, I'll put air quotes, but like intimate of a portrait as this is, you know, I don't know what's in his heart and I don't know why he does what he does. You know, I just know what he does. And he agreed to it. You know, I think in part, there's ego, you know, being approached and being told, you know, there's going to be an opportunity to have a you know, prestigious, culturally relevant documentary made about you. And he also someone who, part of his background, he's had many lives in the Navy and Goldman Sachs, but also in the entertainment industry. And I think that being interested in culture, you know, it was something that it appealed to something that was already there for him.
I mean, he is a, you could say, a failed producer, film producer. And you know, and once you've, you know, you've had a taste of that, it's hard to get it out of you, that desire to, you know, for someone to give you that kind of feedback. I was wrong. You know, it's funny that The Brink and Where's My Roy Cohn and the at the same festival.
Yes, I was just on a panel with Matt last night for The Atlantic, the director of Where's My Roy Cohn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's fascinating because both films are kind of almost like warnings to us all about two guys, you know, and I really wanted to have you weigh in as a filmmaker. Yes, a cinema verite approach, but you know, but it's a cinema verite approach with your eyeballs on it.
100%, and I think that that's really important. What you're seeing is what I think is the truest distillation of him as I witnessed and I experienced over the last year, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, this is I think it's a very fair portrayal. That again is what he was promised too. It's like not cheap shots, but you know, it is what it is, and it's, you know, hundreds of hours and a year's worth of time curated down into 90 minutes. And I think that's very different than just giving someone the space to, you know, say what they want to say. I think it's like a study of how they say things, how they operate. And, you know, for me, my biggest takeaway is, you know, this was the central tension of this entire thing, both of making the film, but also the experience of shooting it, is thinking about how, you know, is this guy an evil genius mastermind, you know, pulling the strings? That was kind of his reputation when I first met him. You know, it's like, this is the guy that gave us Donald Trump. And sort of, I wasn't sure that it was like that, because as soon as you get up close, you see the organization is kind of a little bit slapdash, disorganized. Like, you're in there, you're like, I don't think this is like a mastermind situation. But then truthfully, when I started, I was like, great, this, one of my inspirations was Veep, you know? I was like it was Veep. But on the flip side, I don't think, certainly the conclusion is not to then only, you know, you can laugh with him or at him, but it's not to dismiss his importance. And so it's like always carrying this tension and like this balance of like, how do you not you know, prop him up and give him more credit than he deserves, but also how do you make clear that there is a warning here and there's something very, very dangerous? And I think that, like, the answer is kind of in this tension, and, like, the film, like, lives in this tension. So, you know, Roy Cohn has been, you know, dead for a few decades, so mm-hmm. also the, you know, people can kind of weigh in on what they think the legacy is. And I think Bannon, you know, Roy Cohn really was this behind the scenes, you know, power broker, and Bannon is something different. yeah. And mm-hmm. one of the things he is a master messenger, right? And that is something that you see a lot in the film too. So then that again becomes the question, is his power itself like part of his message? Like, is he trying to sell the world on his power?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I'd put it more in the Lee Atwater category.
Yeah.
You know, as far as that, how they affect the political spectrum. And I also think with a guy like Bannon, as opposed to Roy Cohn, that they're much more a reflection of us. Mm. You know, and our current state of what we're respond to, what we're, you know, so to speak, attracted to. I hate to say that with Steve Bannon, but, you know.
No, and it's true. I mean, like, the whole, you know, another important thing of this film was not for it to just be, like, you know, narrow tunnel vision all about Steve Bannon. It was right. like, how is Steve Bannon like an entree to understanding something about us right now and the world right now?
Globally.
Yeah, and where things are headed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to me, it was the experience of making it, again, because it's verite as opposed to looking back on things that have happened. I mean, you don't always know what the significance of the events you're filming are. But, you know, from going around in the U.S. and, you know, you're seeing these, there's lines of people waiting to take photos with him, which, again, from my side of the political mm-hmm. spectrum mm-hmm. was, like, shocking in itself. Mm-hmm. You know, I kept joking there could be a subtitle for the movie, it's like, white women love Steve Bannon, but like people just love, like,
a lot I thought that's the hashtag. Yeah. I'm just
kidding. There are a lot of people who like really are enamored of him in the US. And then internationally, you know, I really fought hard to get access to, you know, I tried to like be in the room when things were happening and it was true meetings and not just for my benefit or for the camera. And, you know, when you sit there and he's convening, you know, members of far-right parties from various countries, and they're having a dinner in a five-star hotel over wine, talking about, you know, dismantling the EU and, you know, how they see a potential path to it through the EU elections in 2019. I mean, at the end of that night, I was just like, what did I just witness? Like, did I, you know, I remember I called my husband. I was like, either I just was like at the WANSEE conference, or I just like, you know, watched a bunch of people have dinner. Like, I'm not really sure. So, you know, I think that's, again, like the power of verite. And it did feel like documenting history, but without being enamored of the access itself, or like thinking that everything I saw had to be important because I was filming it. Like, I felt very skeptical about everything I saw.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for you is, how were you treated within this community, especially under the guise of fake news, fake media? You're walking around a woman with a camera. Yeah. They weren't sure of your political beliefs, but how were you treated by this community? And did you ever, were you ever so angry, or, you know, how were you able to separate yourself?
Totally. I'm like feeling it all as you're like talking about it. I mean, I was not undercover. 100%. It was, you know, certainly to Bannon and his core team who like knew me. I mean, he would joke to me, oh, my Brown University lefty commie, you know, flaming, you know, whatever. Like he was, you know, kind of, but in a nice way.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Okay.
I mean, I was like, yeah, call me a lefty. Great. Like, and it also made me feel good that, you know, he knew where I was coming from, mm-hmm. you know, expected that I was there to be critical. But because it was fly on the wall, like my job was not to like speak up every time I thought a falsehood was said or some, you know, or even I watched people and I wished, you know, a journalist pushed back more or whatever it is. I mean, it really was a lot of like biting your tongue over time, because he and I did have conversations. You know, we started to, there are a few things where I let us argue, because I also wanted to see if I could push him, because I watched so many different people come and push him, because he did do a lot of interviews over the course of the last year. He became very much someone who people were willing to have on shows, do hour-long, you know, interviews with mm-hmm. him. And I, you know, so I did kind of test the waters a little bit, but for the most part, I felt like my job was not to put so much of myself out there and really just observe. And to be honest, that was hard, and, you know, I tried to have some time on and time off, but his team was very nice to me. Like, they didn't see me as, the enemy, but you know, they could control when I could film and when I couldn't film. That was kind of, you know, the way it worked. Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a lot of time left, but I also would love to have you talk about the editing process for a film like this, because of your approach, that takes on a different air when you're in the editing bay.
Totally. And I think because we finished it very, very fast, which was another big challenge. But I think I had such clarity, if I can say so myself, but I had such clarity of purpose by the time we got to the end of the year, because working on this was constantly asking myself, like, what am I doing here? And what is the value of this? And this better be worth it. Certainly it was like a painful experience to mm-hmm. go around the world by myself doing this. I was like, you know, it has to be worth it. So I feel like once we got to the edit and I knew we were no matter what going to finish really fast, you know, I had to already have a sense of what we're doing. And because it's a year and I knew we were going to end at the midterms, there ended up being kind of like, you know, and it's verite, you kind of know what the arc is going to be. And part of how we made things happen fast was throwing more bodies at it. So I worked with two editors. And then once I stopped filming, kind of was a co-editor as well. And they agreed to work in Premiere so that, because I was like, I can't work in Avid, I just don't know it. So they were willing to work in Premiere so we could all work together. And every day we were all like working on different parts of the movie or trading things back and forth. And I feel really lucky that, you know, we turned around a lot of cuts in a short amount of time, but it always looked like the movie I had imagined in my head. Mm-hmm. And I really do think it's because I just spent so much time thinking about what am I doing here? I really had such a clear idea of what I had and what it should be by the time, you know, the midterms ended and I took the mic back from him at like 2 a.m.
Okay.
And scene.
Yeah.
Drop the mic.
Well, the film is The Brink. We've been talking to Allison Clayman, the director of the film. And Allison, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Allison Clayman, director of The Brink, now in theaters. Please go support her. Support indie film. She does really great work. So,
and she's just fearless.
Yeah.
I mean, who's she going to do next? Okay, Ai Weiwei, Steve Bannon.
Maybe
who
it's
do you
a woman.
Think?
Maybe a woman.
Oh, I was going to say like Pee Wee Herman or something.
Okay, or Pee Wee Herman.
Like something just like so far off. But that's
I'm trying to think like... Okay, you're going Pee Wee Herman?
I don't know. It's just off the top of my head.
What's the brother?
I didn't have time to think.
The actor brother that's gone completely nutso? Randy Quaid. Didn't need the computer.
Oh.
Maybe she'll go follow him. You know he's gone batshit crazy, right? Did you know this?
No.
Oh, boy. He is...
Like what? How? In what way?
I believe he and his wife, who's also a little batshit crazy... They've been arrested in the States for stuff, and then they fled the country, and they've been up in Canada. And, yeah, I mean, he's a little, I would say, he's borderline the Unabomber-ish. Yeah, I mean, everyone don't quote me on this, but, right, if anyone wants to write in and agree with me or disagree, but I think that would be an interesting character study in a documentary. Like, what happened to Randy Quaid? He's
okay.
Lost his shit. Anyways, Allison, if you're listening, can you do that film?
And we will like 10% of the proceeds.
15.
You like how I say we? I didn't do shit.
Yeah, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Anyways, yeah, we like 15% of the proceeds. So that was Allison, supporter film. We are on BFFFM. This is Bitch Talk. I'm Aaron. That's Ange. Also known as
Captain Party.
Let's be real. And soon you'll
plenty of training for that. Title.
Yeah, I mean, we're drinking Jameson now, even though it's 5:30 in the morning. So enjoy your day and thanks for listening.
Bitch, please.